John Bolton joins us. Mr. Ambassador, thank you very much for joining us on the program.
Well, thank you very much for having me. Glad to be with you.
It's kind of interesting to be in here and have these screens up and see that President Obama is headed to Baltimore today to campaign for jobs. At the same time, you have Paul Ryan right now grilling Stephen Miller. We still have the Benghazi situation under examination and, of course, the Associated Press scandal. Your opinion, today George Will came out in his column, just said that that going forward for the Obama administration, the issue of trust, this has brought the issue of trust very much to the fore, and it could impact him for the long term.
Oh, I think that's very true, and I think the potential here goes well beyond that. I mean, you've got in the Benghazi story, I think, a fundamental problem in the administration's view of the world, the view of its threat of Islamic terrorism and how to protect American interests around the world. The administration's response is, oh, this is all politics. You know, speaking as someone who's spent many years in the State Department through different administrations, I really strongly disagree with that. The politics here will sort themselves out however they do. But I think anybody who watched the testimony of Gregory Hicks and the other two witnesses a couple weeks ago can only come to the conclusion that we let our people down and that the problems here go very deep, not just security questions. They sound like technical management issues. These are questions of policy that ultimately the president and the secretary of state are responsible for. And that's going to continue. Now, this IRS thing, I don't think there's any agency of the federal government that touches people more directly than the IRS. And the fear, and I think it's one reason groups across the political spectrum have denounced this IRS conduct, is that it's not a question here of just the Obama administration going after conservative groups. This could happen to anybody. And until we find out more about it, I think the corrosive impact this has people's faith in the government to do much of anything can't be underestimated. And then finally, when you come to the subpoena of the Associated Press, you know, the Washington Post had a dramatic story yesterday. I haven't seen much follow up, but it basically said that the government, the administration, was trying to hold up AP publishing its story so that the president's advisor, then advisor on terrorism, John Brennan, could go out and make it public first to take credit for it. Now, if that's true, that throws the whole rationale, national security concerns, the whole rationale of the subpoena into a cocked hat. And if that's true, that's another enormous blow to the president's credibility and trust. So I think you're in a situation where the politics of these three scandals affect one another, and that the growing mood is that the administration's just not in control of its destiny anymore.
We're speaking to former United States Ambassador to the United Nations, John Bolton, and Mr. Ambassador, this perfect storm, as you just talked about, we've been talking about this all week, everybody has, at this perfect storm of controversy. I wonder, when you look at the three, they all have their importance for different reasons and for common reasons, but do you worry at all? I mean, the Benghazi thing, to me, from an international perspective and also from, you know, a foreign policy perspective, that one bothers me the most. Maybe it's because I'm from a military family, and you know, and the issue of people being overseas and in danger hits home a little bit for me. But is there any concern on your part that the concentration of these three scandals will push Benghazi to the back of the line before it is vetted out appropriately?
I don't think so. I think all three of these issues are going to be around for some time, because I think we're not likely to see a classic kind of smoking gun in either in any of the three. I think investigation and review of documents and discussions with witnesses are all going to be very important. But it's also the case that that now, especially because of the Associated Press subpoena, I think the president's constituency in the media is also begun to get skeptical of him, and so therefore other stories that come up that in and of themselves might not be national blockbusters assume a different perspective. I'll just give you one example that I saw this morning that still boggles my mind as an alumnus both of the State Department and the Justice Department in the Reagan administration. Apparently, two people who had been given new identities as part of the witness protection program in terrorist investigations, that is to say, terrorists themselves who cooperated with the government, given their new identities, and their new identities were not put into the no-fly list, so that apparently these two former terrorists that we have given, presumably, bulletproof new identities are gone, and nobody knows where they are.
Wow.
That to me is stunning. But when you add to this what we've seen kind of across the board, I just think the image of a president who's not in charge of his own government is going to be very, very hard to overcome.
And I kind of came to the conclusion very quickly that as you pointed out, the Associated Press scandal, this is a, by some accounts, the media, the mainstream media, by some right-wing accounts, I guess we'd say, has been very friendly to this president. And although the president at times over the last 5 years been criticized from the far left, this really, hit home with the mainstream media. It was suddenly a particularly broadcast media in my mind, they were suddenly vulnerable to this, and it wasn't just the Tea Party. It wasn't just a bunch of right-wing groups they had no sympathy for. And that's a constituency that the president need not offend.
Yeah, well, he certainly cannot afford to lose his backers in the media, although he's well on the way to doing it, it seems to me, with the way that whole thing was conducted. And this is an area where we simply don't have enough information to know conclusively whether the course pursued by the Justice Department can be defended. But to take one example from yesterday's testimony, they asked the Attorney General about his recusal from the investigation, meaning taking himself out of having any official involvement in it. And he said it was because he had been interviewed by the FBI as what, a potential witness, as a potential source of the leak. So obviously his recusal is required at that point. You can't be a subject or even worse, a target of the investigation and still be presiding over it. And that raises questions. My God, if the Attorney General is suspected of the leak or is involved in the leak, what is going on here? But then it gets worse because under questioning, he said he had never made a written formal designation recusing himself and designating the official in the Justice Department who would play the role of Attorney General in making the decisions that an Attorney General would make if he were still involved. He never did that in writing. He never designated the Deputy Attorney General. And by the way, he couldn't remember when he had recused himself. Now, I have to tell you, I was an Assistant Attorney General. I worked for Ed Meese and I worked for Dick Thornburgh, the former governor of Pennsylvania. And, these recusal decisions are things lawyers have to make all the time in private law firms and government. It's something we're familiar with. You look at the issue, you make your decision. But I tell you, there are formal procedures within the Justice Department because people need to know, are you in it or are you not in it? And if I had been in a recusal situation when I was an assistant attorney general and I had not followed the department's procedures on how to do this, I would have been fired. I would have been fired, and it would have been justifiable because you can't have management of a department as important as the Department of Justice being run off the cuff. You just can't do it. And Holder just sat there and blithely said he couldn't remember when he recused himself. He didn't write it down anywhere. There's no record of it in the department. This is just stunning.
Well, Mr. Ambassador, I appreciate your time today. It's great to have you on the show and shedding some light on these issues. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
That was former U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, John Bolton.